Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Thanks for joining me this morning. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, your comments will show up on our live blog. Questions already rolling in. Comment from Doug on our live blog. So quiet on Collins, what gives? Here's what gives, Doug. The Packers had their only day off of the week yesterday. So no news is coming out of 1265 Lombardi Avenue. I think we've gotten so used to the 24-hour news cycle that we expect news all the time. Really, when you get news from the Packers, it's either during a game or shortly after a game when they open that locker room open to reporters. But otherwise, it pretty much just comes during press conferences. I believe Mike McCarthy holds 3 press conferences a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Does he do it on Thursdays too? Sometimes they change up how they do press conferences for the Packers. And if you're getting news anytime but then, it's because the players leaked it. The players themselves or their agents have gone out of their way to contact the media. And you can, you know, be sure Nick Collins right now is not going out of his way to contact the media to give an update that he probably has no update to give, you know. We heard what was going on with Nick Collins. He's going to be, traveling to a couple specialists over the course of the next week, finding out what's wrong with him, things like that. So, you know, I mean, the big news with Collins, he's done for the year. I mean, that's as far as the extent of his injury, if we want to know that. That'll come in time. But, I mean, you know, let Nick Collins take his time, find out what's wrong, find out the next course of action, how his career is going to proceed, etc., etc. Packers return to practice today, and here's where we're going to start to get news regarding the Green Bay Packers. You know, here's today, you'll be getting an update on Tremont Williams, Ryan Pickett, guys who have missed some time due to injury. Mike McCarthy said he was hopeful Tremont Williams would practice this afternoon, or kind of late this morning. Whether or not that happens remains to be seen. We'll be finding out in a couple hours. Ryan Pickett in the same boat. I don't think McCarthy said he was hopeful about Ryan Pickett practicing today. But Ryan Pickett saying he doesn't think his injury is serious, has a bruised foot. Pickett said he played most of the game with it this past Sunday. I imagine he'll be okay. They're going to want to give him a little bit of time off, a little rest and recovery, just to make sure he's ready to go come Sunday. Anyhow, for the news of the day, things that have been going on with the Green Bay Packers, and seeing as they didn't practice yesterday, there's very little of it. But one item of note that doesn't have to do with any players, if you scroll to the top of the screen, I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. And the top story today is about a proposed stock sale for the Green Bay Packers. The Packers announcing, or at least a spokesman talked to the media, saying that they hope to have a stock sale by the end of 2011. I believe it was Aaron Popke from the PR department talking to media, saying they hope to receive the go-ahead from the NFL by the end of October. And if so, you know, they're getting ready to sell shares of stock in no time. Selling shares of stock by the end of the year, and I wrote on the Packers Daily Links, how convenient that it's coming at the end of the year. How convenient, just before Christmas time, that the Packers are doing this. Not that they have any ulterior motives. It's just smart by them. And you can be sure, I can just see into the future how many of these shares of stock will be sold as Christmas presents. And Jamie Jor is commenting on the live blog, explaining to her husband last night that we're going to have to plan to set aside some money to become an owner of the Packers. How nice is that? The only publicly owned team in the NFL, in professional sports. Brad Stanley asking on the live blog, do we think it will be $200 or more a share? That's the word. Going to be about $200. The Packers haven't etched an exact price in stone, but saying it's going to be $200 or possibly above. And if it's above, I don't think it'll be a whole lot more. You know, it's I think the last time they did it, it was $200 plus I think there might have been a processing fee on top of it, you know, something like $15. Yeah, you know, you could imagine the same thing for this one. Maybe $225, $250 max, I can imagine. I can't imagine it would be more than that. But that's going to give you a ballpark, a rough idea of what the Packers are going to do regarding this stock sale. So that's the big news of the day. And, you know, I was just looking at Twitter before it came on the show. Tweet from Don Walker, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, their business reporter, saying he expects the Packers to announce the details of their security procedures today. The NFL announcing, like, I don't know if this is a mandate or just a wish that they want all NFL teams to do. Increase security at games, including frisking, what was it, a whole body frisk before you come into a stadium. I think it was just previously above the waist that this could happen, but now below the waist as well, down to the ankles, I think. And I suppose this could be partially in response to the new concealed carry law. I mean, that's a new law in Wisconsin, but it hasn't necessarily been a new law everywhere else in the United States. I mean, Wisconsin, it is almost everywhere else. Wisconsin is one of the last. There's very few other states, I believe, to have this concealed carry law, in which you can, you know, legally bring a gun to any, you know, public building. But I mean, there are certain restrictions. If a building posts a sign outside saying you can't bring one in, well, you know, you can't. Brad Stanley says, and taser dude didn't help. Yeah, so what was the deal there? Somebody got tasered at another football game? I faintly remember hearing that, although I haven't gotten all the details on that. A fan was tasered. Interesting. Jamie Jors has asked a question. Who actually owns the team? The taxpayers of Green Bay? No, it is the shareholders who own the team. You know, no, prior to there being any, sale of stock, there was, you know, technically no single owner of the Packers. And you know, the Green Bay would have lost the team had it not been for a stock sale. So, I mean, it's the the shareholders are technically the owners. They don't have much say in what happens. They vote for the board of directors that runs the team. And that's it. Jamie Joris asks, how did the board of directors get their job? Basically, they're recommended. I mean, you kind of have to be a muckety-muck to be recommended. What it is it's a lot of big wigs in business and commerce, mostly, that are part of the board of directors. A couple former players in there. A mix. But I mean, you're not Joe Blow and getting on the board of directors. You pretty much are, you know, you're the president or the CEO of some sort of business, or you're a former player with some clout in order to get on this board of directors. You know, it might be kind of nice to have just one or two regular fans on the board of directors. You know, maybe there are. I don't know it that well. But it's interesting. You know, it's certainly a unique way of doing things that only happens in Green Bay, only happens with the Green Bay Packers. It's just unique in that way. Anyway, other than having to do with the sale of stock, things of that nature, having to do with the Green Bay Packers, if we go back to this morning's Packers Daily Links, and again, as it is always every Wednesday morning, coming off the one day of the week, the Packers, you know, have off and there's nothing happening with the team. You know, the news is a little sparse on a Wednesday. But if you look at the Packers Daily Links, there's a couple feature articles, you know, pretty much interviews that have been done ahead of time, and they were waiting to release them until this day. But wide receiver Jordy Nelson was featured in the Chicago Tribune, of all places, today. Fantastic writer Dan Pompey interviewing him for a feature. And the reason it's in the Chicago Tribune is because the Packers play the Bears this weekend. So, of course, you know, people in Chicago are gearing up for the opponent they're going to face on Sunday. Packers traveling to Chicago for a 3:15 kickoff. And you know, it really is good for Jordy Nelson to be getting some publicity in some place other than Green Bay. He's certainly deserving of it. I mean, this is a guy who's really come on. And as the article, you know, basically points out, pretty much, you know, from the playoffs onward last year, you know, through the first two games of this season, Jordy Nelson has been almost as good as any receiver in the NFL. I mean, again, albeit small sample size here, we're only talking about a couple games, but I mean, certainly everybody remembers the Super Bowl, 9 catches for like 140 yards and a touchdown. Did have a couple drops in there, but still, 9 catches for 140-some yards. You know, pretty darn good by Jordy Nelson. This is a guy who is you know, as Brad Stanley says here on the live blog, coming on strong, certainly. Jordy Nelson is a free agent at season's end. And, you know, this is going to bring up a lot of interesting possibilities with the Green Bay Packers. You know, what are they going to do with him? Are they going to offer him a contract extension? They're so deep at the wide receiver position. You know, do they really want to give Jordy Nelson the amount of money it's going to take to keep him? Because if he does hit the free agent market, and he doesn't get injured, just as long as Jordy Nelson doesn't get injured, he's going to have a nice payday. And the Packers are going to have to pay him accordingly if they want to keep him. Now, they might get a little bit of a discount if they try to offer him an extension before the end of the year. You know, giving him that security in case he were to get injured. But, you know, it's interesting. The Packers are so deep. You know, how much money do they want to tie up into the wide receivers? Comment on the live blog. If we sign James Jones, we better sign Jordy Nelson. Yeah, I mean, the Packers dumped this money into James Jones, albeit not a ton. They kind of got him a little bit of a discount, seeing as he didn't get a whole ton of interest on the free agent market. But still, I mean, what's James Jones making? $3 million a year? You got to wonder, maybe after the season, could this be the end of James Jones in Green Bay? I mean, all of a sudden, if there's injuries, I mean, James Jones could play a much larger role. And again, that probably isn't fair of me to ask that question. But, you know, as everybody knows, he hasn't done much this season so far. You know, of course, he had the one catch against the New Orleans Saints in week one. And everybody was up in arms, you know. Here the Packers sign him in free agency and they give him one catch. Kirk Cozad comments, yes, but no drops. Very true. James Jones hasn't dropped the ball yet. And what did he get on this past Sunday against the Panthers? He only had one more catch, didn't he? It wasn't many. Was it two? Two targets? I don't know. Anyhow. How do you like this new feature on Cheesehead TV? Like that little picture there in the bottom of the screen? Something new. I don't know how interesting it is. I got one small video component that I got to work without necessarily bogging other things down. We've been going through so many video and audio quality issues here at Cheesehead TV. we had to forego basically the video component here at Railbird Central and go entirely to audio, which really makes little difference to those listening to the podcasted version of the show. I'm told the picture is a little distorted. That's all right. I'm not going to be using that little video very much, if at all, on this show. It's kind of cool, though. So, anyway, the other feature article that happened to come in the media today, this morning, was at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in a feature article on BJ Raji. And by all means, just briefly here before I continue on, I put up the phone number on the box on our screen. If you want to call into the show, if you're listening to it live, phone number is area code 646-797-2909. Feel free to call in the show if you want to talk about James Jones, Jordy Nelson, the Packers stock sale, or anything else regarding the Green Bay Packers. Feel free to call in, and we will take your call. While we're waiting, I'll get back to this article about BJ Raji, written by Lori Nickel of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I left the link to it in the Packers Daily Links if you want to check it out. Basically talking about, you know, how far BJ Raji has come since joining the Green Bay Packers. And kind of appropriate, you know, this is kind of an emerging guy who is, you know, really stepping up his play, I mean, he has been stepping it up for a year now. You know, really since all of last year. His rookie year was kind of just unnotable. You know, dealt with a rather serious ankle sprain that, you know, kept him out for several weeks and limited his effectiveness after that. But last year, 2010, you know, B.J. Raji was fantastic. 6.5 sacks, the most by a nose tackle in the NFL last season. I think if I'm correct, and here I might have the statistics somewhere here, B.J. Raji sacks is really remarkable coming from the nose tackle position. I know I have an interesting stat here somewhere if I can find it. I'm going through the Packers dope sheet. Here we go. Not only did B.J. Raji lead nose tackles in sacks last year with 6.5, that is the third most all time in the NFL from a nose tackle. Number 3 of all time for a single season. The most sacks by a nose tackle ever in a single season was by Jay Ratliff of the Dallas Cowboys in 2008. He had 7.5 sacks. In 1990, Ken Clark of the Minnesota Vikings had 7. And number 3 all time, B.J. Raji, 6.5 last year. The third best sack performance in 1 year, one season, in NFL history. Pretty impressive by B.J. Raji. You know, as you know, nose tackles, guys who are playing on the nose most of the time, you know, are guys who are well over 300 pounds. 300 at minimum. There's not too many 300-pound nose tackles. And B.J. Raji, what is he listed at? 340, I think they say. Something like that. In that realm, in that ballpark. But probably even more than that. You know, I think Lori Nickel points out in the article that he's now has over 100 tackles since joining the Packers, and that's his entire career. But I mean, we're talking about just over 2 seasons. And really, he missed several games his rookie year. I mean, we're probably talking less than 2 full seasons. Fantastic. Comment on the live blog. He still seems to get home even while being double-teamed at times. No doubt about it. Hurts not having a force like Cullen in there at the moment, but B.J. blows up the O-line regardless. Certainly. Kind of been a lot of talk about Cullen Jenkins lately because the defensive line has not provided the pressure they did last year. You know, most of it coming from B.J. Raji and Cullen Jenkins and little else elsewhere. But, you know, the Packers are right in the middle of the pack right now in terms of total number of sacks in the NFL. You know, not wherever they come from, whether it's a defensive lineman, a linebacker, or a blitzing defensive back. And you know, I would think that's only going to improve. Packers have not gotten sacks like they were last year from the defensive line. You know, a little disappointing, I suppose. What does Raji have? Only 1 sack on the year? I mean, we're talking about 2 games here. Yes, I mean, losing Cullen Jenkins, you were going to lose some pass rush. But for the most part, I mean, 3-4 defensive linemen, they are just not asked to rush the passer. You know, they're asked to occupy blockers a lot of the time. And they do it fairly well. They do a good job of it. The Packers do. And you just hope a guy like, you know, especially Jarius Wynn, continues to develop, continues to rush the passer at a good pace. You know, the Packers are really waiting on Mike Neal to come back and provide some real pass rush that they thought he would be able to provide. Comment from Colleen, continues to stay healthy. I mean, that goes for everybody on the defensive line. You know, Ryan Pickett is dealing with this injury right now. You know, if Ryan Pickett were to go down, the Packers would really be in a bind on the defensive line. They need him to stay healthy, especially. You know, the Packers have right now two roster spots open that they need to fill. One on the practice squad and one on the 53-man roster. And we should be learning today two new players, members of the Packers, although they're not all on the 53-man roster. You know, I have to assume one is going to be a safety to replace Nick Collins, and one of them will be a defensive lineman just for some depth. You know, which one is on the practice squad and which one makes the 53? I don't know. And that'll really be interesting to see later today. If I had to guess, I think the Packers are going to re-sign Anthony Levine, a guy who spent all last year on the practice squad and was in training camp with them this year before getting cut on the final cutdown. And it was an unfortunate situation because he was playing really well in training camp until he had a concussion during practice. And just a freak accident, he running into, I believe it was Pat Lee, just colliding, you know, just a freak thing. You know, two defensive backs colliding in coverage, I believe, during practice. And so I think he's the logical person to be signed. Again, and I would think he'd be the one signed to the 53-man roster. I think once he's over this concussion and back healthy, he'll be fine. And I think the Packers worked out three defensive linemen, you know, just street free agents yesterday. They worked them out Monday. And again, if forced to guess, and I part of the time I'm not correct, but, you know, I would think they would sign one of those guys to the practice squad. Again, just for depth issues, even if Ryan Pickett is okay, you know, they're going to need a defensive lineman to practice at least. So that's where that's going to go. And if they don't sign out one of the guys they worked out, I have a link to the guys they worked out in yesterday's Packers Daily Links if you're wondering about them, their names. Maybe they sign one of the guys who was in training camp with them this year that they cut. A guy like Jay Ross, perhaps, that was on the practice squad last year. Or maybe some of those undrafted rookies like Eli Joseph or Chris Donaldson. Guys they know who know the system, have practiced with the Packers before, whose learning curve might be a little bit less than a street free agent. We will see. I mean, this is not big news. Whoever the Packers sign, these are guys who probably aren't going to play. I mean, let's just assume the Packers sign Anthony Levine. He's probably not going to be on the active 46-man game day roster. At least not right away. Maybe he would be eventually. Would be in time. But not right away. MD Jennings has been with the Packers now, you know, since training camp, since week one. And he played this past week against the Panthers on special teams. He's been with the Packers for several consecutive weeks, you know, going back to late July. So, you know, he's starting to learn the system now and be okay in case the Packers need him. And again, I mean, even if the Packers happen to suffer another injury at safety, I mean, the guy who probably you know, what could happen is you'll see Charles Woodson move there, or you'll see Jarrett Bush move there. Will be really interesting today. One of the reports from practice is whether Charles Woodson is taking any snaps at safety, you know, even if it's just a just-in-case kind of thing, an emergency, just so he knows what he's doing. I mean, Charles Woodson is a veteran and been around the block and knows quite a bit, has actually played safety for the Packers in the past, albeit not a lot. But see if the Packers kind of, you know, it's been thought that, you know, late in his career, maybe a move to safety is in the works, a la Rod Woodson from the Steelers, who was such a great, you know, cornerback for so many years. And then when he lost that speed a little bit in his, you know, his old age, old being a relative term, you know, moved to safety and was still effective. But it's 9 o'clock, folks. Thanks so much for joining me on Real Bird Central this morning. We'll be back on Friday, once again, for another episode of Railbird Central. So join us then. Until then, have a good Wednesday, and go Pack Go. We'll see you later, everyone. Take care.